all this time, Porter, everything you've done, everything you've said, I've heard all about. So you've made some remarks in the past about when is Papa Fritz going to be here. Papa Fritz is here.
WorldCast episode number 46, where we're going to be looking at World Class Championship Wrestling. February, I believe it's the February 5th. You can correct me, Kelly. Is it the February 5th? Jordy versus Ric Flair?
February 12th.
Or 3rd.
12th.
Okay, 12th. Yeah. Which is, you know, well, hell, let me introduce you guys first. Johnny, how you doing?
I'm doing okay.
Kelly?
I'm doing great.
Awesome. Well, you know, we had two episodes missing from the network.
Yeah.
It never aired on 24/7. I went into my World Class and couldn't find any original episodes of them that I had on DVD.
My God.
But the Terry Gordy Ric Flair match, which did show up, you know, later on those, like, Legends of World Class shows. And that's where it got passed around through tape collectors. So I don't know if these two, and I know, Kelly, I know you reached out and tried to find it with no to no avail.
No.
So I don't know if these two episodes ever, if they're in existence anymore. I can't tell you if they are or not. I think they might be on, if they aired, they'd be maybe split up differently on all the Legends of Wrestling, and maybe you can cobble together an episode or two, but I'm not sure. So we watched a YouTube video of the Ric Flair, Terry Gordy title match, and this was the I don't want to say they teased it. Like, you know, they promoted.
Yeah, they kept bringing up Terry Gordy kept bringing it up. He's like, I'm the one that deserves a shot at the world champion, and I'm going to get it.
Exactly.
I ain't gonna be stupid like you.
And we got it, and it's really interesting because the fans treat Ric Flair like he's the friend of my enemy.
Yes.
Like my enemy of my enemy is my friend type of thing.
Yeah.
And so they, like, Flair becomes de facto face because, yeah, even though he fucked Kerry over he got to put a bounty on him, injured his leg. That's kind of water under the bridge now because there's a new threat. And that's Freebirds. So
Sickle fans.
They kind of get behind Flair in this match. So it's a pretty interesting dynamic. And shows you how hot the Freebirds were, because clearly Flair was the number one heel whenever he came into the territory. And now the Freebirds have that honor. So, Kelly, what do you think of the match, man?
I liked it for sure. I mean, it's a huge match for TV. So this was on what? Legends of World Class or Legends of Wrestling?
Well, they had a reruns. Like, I think, I want to say maybe it was like 90, 88, 89, okay. 90, 88-ish ESPN called Legends of World Class.
Okay, it was that show. All right.
And that's where this thing got popped around.
Okay.
And so I said, if you look through all the listings, you might be able to cobble apart the episodes, but I don't think the episodes exist right now.
Right.
Maybe this was one of the only usable parts of it.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe. Because it looks old. Like, I thought it was from the original broadcast just based on the look of the footage. But hey, I mean, thank God we have this. It's a huge match for TV. It's one of the bigger matches they've shown on the World Class show from the Sportatorium anyway. An NWA title match. That's super cool. We did have a Flair promo right at the beginning of this YouTube video with calm and intense Nature Boy, which is my favorite Ric Flair. No shouting, just, you know, straight to the point.
Matter of fact.
Yeah. Yeah, really good. He was so good at that. He stopped using that style sometime in the early 90s and never went back to it, unfortunately.
He was even holding his hands up like cup together, like he's thinking intently with his all like Terry Gordy's the best one of the Freebirds.
Yeah,
definitely as a wrestler and stuff. Yeah, Calm Flair rules.
Yeah,
yeah, it is, because you know, like in like probably it must have been easy maybe 90, at least when he went to the WWE, it for sure he became a character of himself and never came back to really You very rarely, you might see glimpses here and there. But for the most part, you very rarely did.
I didn't see a lot of this in 87 when he was tearing his clothes off in front of Tony Schiavone either. So.
Yeah, that's true.
No, you're right. Yeah. No, this is something that got away from him. This is more of his, you know, it was a different interview because it became more about, like, I think like if you read his books, it all became about who could top one another on these interviews on TBS or Dusty or him or Cornette or Arn or Kelly. They all were trying to top each other. And that's kind of why I think Arn was so great, because he did such, he was more like this as opposed to, you know, the outlandish type of promos that Flair and Tully would do.
Yeah.
I mean, Flair and Dusty, I mean.
Yeah. Corny. Yeah. It's a lost art, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Gordy cuts a fired up promo too. Shine the build up good. It's awesome. Gordy's so great.
That's what's going to happen when you face someone that ain't stupid. That's what he says.
Yeah, right. Exactly. and then Flair calls out Hayes.
Right.
Yeah. To plant some seeds there. He says the real vendetta is with Hayes.
Which makes sense, because in the cage, Hayes was trying to fuck him over.
Exactly.
So, that's great.
Exactly. And
there is a match of theirs from the Sportatorium, from the Monday night show.
Oh, okay. So the Fort Worth show or the.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll have to dig that one out. Of your mountain of DVDs.
Yeah, it's somewhere there, yeah. Because
we got to watch that one. I think it's cool how it adds another layer to the whole feud, having Flair be in the mix, right? How he's against both sides. That's really cool. And, I'm just loving the show now, how I'm getting to see stuff I've never seen before with guys that I love. And it's wild. So, and this is a perfect example, this match. I've never seen this match before. Really fun. And yeah, I'm wondering how many NWA title matches actually had been televised at this time on like a Saturday show, or I guess this was more than a Saturday show. This was on cable TV, right? Or was
satellite.
Satellite. Yeah. So it wasn't, it was kind of a premium channel to have. Was it the Christian Broadcasting Network?
Yeah, it was on some Christian network that I never had. Yeah. Oh, it was as safe as the 700 Club. Because
St. Louis, anyway, it was. That's how I watched World Class in St. Louis.
Right.
Was through the same channel as the 700 Club.
Yeah, by the time I got cable, World Class was not on the 700 Club.
Yeah, so this was more of a premium station. But still, I mean, the NWA title.
No, they don't do that. I think it's just a world class thing. I mean, I don't think they distinguished it because it was a premium station. This was their, ended up being their pretty much their local, not local, but I mean, it aired in their market. So I don't, it was just, you know, world class just changed the rules is what they did. And by far in 1980, I mean, if you go look at them, I bet you there was more world title defenses in world class championship wrestling than anywhere else that made tape.
Yeah, that could be very true.
Not including like, you know, a WWF house show.
Right, of course. They're innovators, man. The innovators with the type of matches. innovators in production and all that, and it's really cool. So at the beginning, Kerry enters the ring and punches Gordy. You know, that's cool. Keeping that going. Bronco's the referee. He's a veteran of many NWA title matches, of course. So that's a good choice. And Gordy dominated with power right from the start. And yeah, like Johnny said, Flair's the babyface to this crowd. But he's still wrestling pretty heelish.
Yeah, I wouldn't really say heelish. I would say more with an edge to it. I mean, you don't see him like kicking him in the balls or low blowing or a thumb to the eye. But you definitely see him working aggressive, working stiff. I don't feel like it was heelish, but he was still shining Gordy up like a heel would. But it wasn't in a heelish manner. I think he just was working more with that. He was working more baby. He was doing a lot of baby face stuff. But doing it with an edge. I mean, because if you look at it, I mean, he's working over Terry Gordy's back. He's doing how a baby face would work a match. Yet still shining up Gordy and making him look good.
Yeah, I guess more like an NWA champion where you gotta kind of toe the line between face and heel. And be a bit of both. So, yeah, that's maybe the style. We get Mercer hyping both the impending debuts of Iceman Parsons and Jimmy Garvin. Oh, boy. More on that later, folks.
Yes, he calls Iceman a tremendous black wrestler.
Yes.
just to get the crowd ready. What?
There's a tremendous black wrestler now? My God.
Well, all they know is Hussein. So
right, that's true. He set the bar.
And we also had what's his name, Ray Candy.
They've all sucked. And Tom Boogle.
And the candy.
The Superfly.
The Superfly, yeah.
Oh my. And yes, we get a big "Go Rick Go" chant. So yeah, he's.
I hate. Oh, see now you brought that up. I love hearing him get a baby face reaction, but hearing "Go Rick Go" always bothered me. I thought it doesn't fit. It's like, it's not "Let's go Rick" or "Let's go Flair." If you're going to do that, to me, hearing all those girls go "Go Rick Go" just always grated on my nerves like nails on a chalkboard. It doesn't work.
Johnny never had cheerleaders cheering for me.
No, it's not. No, I have, sir. Okay, certainly have. But right, it doesn't fit. Man. It doesn't fit Ric Flair. It never did. Go, Rick, go. It's like, can you guys come up with something else?
Yeah.
It's either "Go Home Freebirds" or "Go Fill in the Blank Go." Yeah. It drives me batshit.
Yeah, I mean, no one could. Dallas is a creative crowd, but they're a hot crowd.
Yeah.
Oh, hotter than fuck, man. But that. Yeah,
they got to work on the chants. They're almost as bad as current NXT full-scale crowds.
Yeah, hold on. That's not true.
I'm just kidding. I just wanted to be topical.
Okay. No, it'd be fun. I would respect those guys if someone would be ironic and just start chanting like "Go so and so go" or "Go home Undisputed Era."
Yeah, that would be great. Anyway, back to the match. Yeah, brisk pace, good back and forth match. Crowd pop for the figure four, big time when Flair put it on. Mercer even came alive in this match, more than normal, especially when the figure four was applied. And Flair got a sleeper on too for a big pop. And then we got a clean finish, which was surprising. Gordy missed a crossbody attempt or something like that and hit the ropes and basically, you know, knocked the wind out of himself. Yeah. And that's a finish that was used quite often back in the day.
As banana peel finishes go, I love that finish.
Yeah. I can remember Jumbo Tsuruta against Terry Funk from Japan, an NWA title match. That was the finish to that one, too.
Yeah, I love that finish.
Yeah. And so that's how Flair gets the pin. I thought for sure this was going to be a schmoz finish of some sort, so that was a very welcome development at the end. Basically, it's an abridged version of an NWA title match. this could have been a Broadway if they, you know, wrestled it, stretched it out and all that. But, you know, otherwise they just kept the highlights. And so, yeah, it went by quick. And I,
is that why I liked it better than those?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah, there's no downtime in this. I dropped 3 stars on it. I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, I liked it a little bit more than you. I gave it 3.5. Okay. I liked it a lot. I mean, like, I dug the carriage coming out challenging because you got to keep him relevant. I thought it was a good match. I really liked Flair shining up Gordy early on. I mean, we even see Gordy get to do a Flair flip into the corner.
Yeah.
And Flair let him do it instead of himself doing it. Set up a lot of the Gordy's back work. I mean, a lot of the work Flair did on Gordy's back. Seeing Flair do a Boston Crab, I don't think I've ever seen. Right. Yeah, like you mentioned, I love that finish. It was fun to see Flair as a face in Texas. It was one of Flair's shorter title matches that we've seen. That man was notorious for going 25 plus. This probably went like around 12 bell to bell. They did cut a good pace, and they fit all the action in. I mean, you don't feel like you got screwed over on time at all. It was a lot of neat stuff in it. And it totally was not Flair formula, where people like to pick out the Flair doing a lot of Flair on the spots. And obviously we didn't see it. I mean, there was some, like, you know, Gordy doing press slams, which we don't normally see Terry Gordy doing. But, you know, Terry Gordy's a hell of a worker, and he's kind of gotten a rap of being a guy who wasn't as great as what everyone thought. I've always liked Gordy, and I always thought his UWF title run was one of the most underrated runs I've ever seen, because he was having great match after great match with Duggan, DiBiase, Dr. Death, Black fucking Bart. I mean, he was just
one man gang,
just having match after match after match, different style. The guy, one of the best brawlers around, just an excellent worker, and being able to go here with Flair, and it was a totally different match than. It was totally different. Where this wasn't a Terry Gordy normal tour. Terry Gordy, I mean, yeah, he threw some punches, but I don't think it was a punch based. Like, I think Terry Gordy is known for more building matches around punches and big bombs and stuff. I didn't think we saw that here. I thought it was a lot more subtle, and told a pretty damn good story in that finish. I'm a big mark for. What about you, John?
Well, I'm just gonna add a couple things because we've already gone over pretty much everything. I loved his one-armed scoop body slam on Flair. The first, before he did the press slam, he did a one-arm body slam on Flair. It's badass. So the only thing I have to add, it was great. I thought it was a super fun. I think it was 10 minutes, actually, because I checked.
Okay.
I was like, how long is this going
to
be? I was checking for a different reason, and I was like, oh, this is going to be short. It's 10 minutes. Perfect TV match. But why is Kerry there? Kerry comes out in his matching brown outfit and he's just hanging around in the ring. It's not like he ran into the ring and attacked Terry Gordy, which would make sense. He just comes in and he's hanging around. And after the introductions, he starts talking to the referee about some shit and pointing at Gordy. Gordy comes over and is like, yo, get out of here, stupid.
Well, part of it is they've always mentioned that Kerry's due a rematch.
Right.
Because of the screw job. So I think he's out there to remind Flair he's still the uncrowned champion.
Get
up in the Freebirds business.
Yeah, stay in the bag, you jerk. after he attacks him, there's this cool little recognition between Flair and Kerry. Where Kerry, like, points. This is how cool Ric Flair is. Kerry, like, points at Gordy, and he's like, go ahead and, like, kick his ass. And Flair's like, I know what I'm doing, pal. And, like, and shushes him aside and nods at him, you know, gesture. Loved that. But it just seemed odd. Like, I'm watching this. I'm like, why is Kerry just standing in there? What is he there for? But the match itself was a blast.
Yeah, I always love those, like, Ric Flair, History of the Von Erich moments. Like, I remember on one of those old school Raws, I think from Dallas, where Flair somehow was getting his ass kicked, and he looks to help from Kevin, and Kevin's like, I fucking hate you type of fucking look, you know? Good. And I still like when they play those like moments in sports entertainment. So, hey, Johnny, what's going on, man, with Pro Wrestling Only?
Oh, well, it's time, everyone, for the live reads that you were promised a while ago. So everyone knows that our home base is Pro Wrestling.
Did you really need to pump it?
Yes,
that?
I think it does.
I'm sure no one has been excited except for you. For the
I actually have not been all that excited, my friend, but I thought introduce. Oh, not really. Well, no. Unless we're going to pull behind the Patreon curtain, I thought it was going to be completely different than what this is. But anywho, to anyone who listens to the show who isn't aware of it, ProWrestlingOnly.com is our home base. Check out ProWrestlingOnly.com to explore other podcasts.
Yeah, so this week on Pro Wrestling Only, as you know, this feed's been going for years. We have a whole bunch of shows, over the years they've come and gone. But I think we have a pretty solid lineup these days. I'll start with Lucha Afterground. That's my buddies Max and Travis here in Vancouver. It's a show all about Lucha Underground. This past week, they've dropped an episode that's on number 14 and 15 of the Lucha Underground show. Johnny and I are slated to make an appearance on this show at some point. So, yeah, you are. you were part of the Twitter conversation. Maybe you didn't know what it was about, but now you do. Anyway, it should be fun. And let's see, who booked this? This is Stephen Graham and J.R. Goldberg. They go through like the worst of the worst. And then this week it's part two of a look at King of the Ring 1995. So an epic, usually, referenced as like one of the low points for the WWF back in the day. So that should be fun. Match of the week. This is Tim and Tanner looking at a match that I believe is near and dear to all of our hearts. Rick Rude versus Ricky Steamboat from Beach Blast 1992. The Iron Man match. Great stuff there. Psychology is Dead, The Art of the Hive Mind. And this is an interesting show. I've listened to a few. It's unique format. And this episode is all about Walter. Is that how you're supposed to say it? All caps, Walter. The German sensation of 2018.
Because Walter.
Walter. Yes, okay. It's Walter.
Walter.
Anyway, everyone loves him. I still haven't seen one of his matches. I've awesome. Been planning. Yeah, I know. I've read the descriptions, all chop fests and blood and hoss fights and stiff stuff. Sounds great.
Sounds German.
It sounds German, yes. My favorite podcast, Greetings from Allentown. This week is the WWF Spotlight from January 3rd, 1987. This features Honky Tonk Man wearing suspenders. Remember when he first debuted, he had that weird get up? Yeah, so he's still in that. We have Andre the Giant on the brink of his legendary heel turn, early 1987. Peter Winston always does a great job on the show. Everybody should listen to it. It's fucking fantastic. I love this show, so it's another great installment of that. And last but not least, our brothers at the Place to Be podcast had episode 500 this week, and I was a part of it. It was a trivia contest, and I won't spoil anything other than to say my performance was kind of like, Ray Stevens in the 1980s, not Ray Stevens in the awesome. 1960s. I don't know. Was Ray Stevens in the 1980s awesome? At times, I had a few glimpses of it. Yeah. I'm like a shell of my former self when it comes to trivia. I was once great. People talk about me. Oh, yeah. Remember Brainbuster, 5-time champion?
Hey.
You know? Yeah. So that was like Ray Stevens in the 60s.
You were the champ, Rock. You were the champ.
Yeah. That was my Ray Stevens in San Francisco run.
Your next thing, it's going to be Creed now, and you'll be the coach. So.
Oh, God, no. So my performance on episode 500 of the Place to Be podcast was Ray Stevens in, like, 1985, after his WWF run. Like, okay. Yeah, So not even involved in like a relevant feud and turning Jimmy Snuka babyface. I'm way past my prime trivia wise. Anyways, congratulations for Scott and Justin making it to 500 episodes. It's been, I think, 7 years, almost 8 years for them. So that's pretty epic. And yeah, that's all I got for this week in pro wrestling only and other.
Because you forgot to fucking plug my other show. This.
Oh yeah, sorry.
Yeah, this is what you're getting with the live reads, kids.
Apple,
so you forget. You forget your brother's over at Place to Be Nation. You forget your real brother's show. Shame on you.
I know. And I had this week in wrestling ? Written down. So, Pete, this week in wrestling ?
Well, last week we discussed the NXT MLW War Games and Warrior Wrestling 2. This upcoming week, we're going to be talking about we're going to do the Black Label Pro show, the current episode of NXT, and the current episode of MLW Fusion, which I think is number 24 or 25. So that's what we'll be talking about on This Week in Wrestling.
Groovy.
Now we're going to do...
Hold on. We have the plug line. We have the plug line. Check all of this and more at ProWrestlingOnly.com.
You are forgiven.